It's this time at the end, I'll tell you. Anyway, the thing that I really liked about Buddhism, and when I came across particularly this movement's approach and way of describing and teaching Buddhism, was that there were methods, there were things you could do. So it wasn't just a case of a philosophy, which in itself was fascinating and interesting, but I liked the fact that there was also a methodology. So that's basically what I want to tell you about today, really. And I'm aware that some of you are quite new to Buddhism, some of you are maybe don't know anything at all about Buddhism, and some of you have been at it as long as me. So, you know, it's hard to know quite where to pitch. So, one of the things that I remember hearing about very early that I was very taken by and have continued to return to again and again is what's known as the threefold path in Buddhism. So this is a way of describing the spiritual life or describing one's spiritual practice. And it's the path of ethics, meditation and wisdom. Now, they're not three separate paths, and they're not three sequential paths. It's much more a rounded approach to the spiritual life, and all of those aspects need to be there and cultivated and worked with. And there's a bit of a feedback loop between the three of them. But I want to have a look at that. So I'm going to start by having a look at meditation and how that might be a tool that one can use in terms of the cultivation of peace and the changing of the world. So there's a couple of different types of meditation that we teach in all our public centres, at least I hope we do. And one of them is a practice known as the mindfulness of breathing, which is a practice of helping us to develop our awareness. Very soon after I came along, I got a little book of aphorisms of Sangharakshita, and one of them said, awareness is revolutionary. And given my background, I quite liked that. I liked the idea of something being revolutionary. And the more I thought about this, the more I thought, it's absolutely true. To the extent that one was really truly aware of oneself and really truly aware of other beings around us, It would be completely revolutionary. You couldn't be exploited, nor could you exploit, really, if you were fully aware. You know, if you really knew what it felt like to be in another person's shoes, for example, it would dictate greatly how we acted. So I found that really an interesting approach, because meditation itself, I must confess, was not what drew me in. In fact, I thought it sounded extremely boring. I was more interested in the kind of ideas, really. And then my friend Damarati, who was teaching in the Glasgow Buddhist Centre at the time, said, if you're really serious about changing yourself, you've got to meditate. And I'm like, oh God, really? I mean, boring. Sitting there in a cushion for 40 minutes, you know. And he said, well, give it a try. And I said, well, I have in the past given it a try, but it was a different kind of meditation. And anyway, I gave it a try. I was so knocked out by it. It was that, you know, you come to something a bit resistant and actually it has a really strong effect on you. And I found that practice actually quite challenging, the practice of mindfulness of breathing. I found quite a difficult practice. And the reason I found it so difficult was because it was to do with inner stillness and inner peace. And it was to do with coming into contact with yourself and coming into an awareness of your own body, your own feelings, your thoughts, your conditioning, who you are. And I found that really challenging. And for all sorts of reasons, I felt very uncomfortable. And I realised just how much anger I was sitting in. So that was, you know, I remember somebody talking about, oh, meditation's great, it kind of gives you this inner peace. And I thought, no, in my head it doesn't. You know, my first experiences of meditation were just songs, music, movie scenes. And some of the movie scenes were from movies and some of them were from my life, you know. And they just played out again and again. And yet, actually, little by little, I did start getting that sense that actually there was the possibility of stillness. So people that knew me then, I mean, actually people that know me now might find it hard to believe that I was more speedy than I currently am. But I was extremely speedy and kind of all over the place, really. I've always had a lot of energy, but it was very unkempt. So I really kind of started feeling, and it was quite physical in a way, this sense that actually I could sit with myself and even kind of feel comfortable and start getting a sense not only of an inner stillness but a kind of expansiveness, strange kind of mixture of a coming in but a real sense of awareness of what was around me, and a real kind of sense of a real sense of kind of oneness actually with things, a sense of kind of identification, I suppose. And that was also very much from the other practice that we teach, which is a practice called Metta Bhavana, which is the development of loving kindness. And now that I found a really revolutionary practice. So for any of you who haven't ever done that practice, it's a practice in which you learn to kind of open your heart and feel an empathic identification, a concern for, a love of eventually all beings. But we do that in a particular way in which we develop metta, love, towards people, towards ourselves, towards somebody close, towards somebody that we don't really know. And then, this was the one that I really got me, towards somebody that you have difficulty with, and then spreading out into the whole world. And I just remember thinking, well, why on earth would I feel love towards somebody that I don't like? It's a ridiculous thing to ask you to do. And I remember arguing with the person teaching the Metta Bhavana and saying, well, why should I? And, you know, mentioning these particular figures that I had no intentions of developing any sense of loving kindness for, and kind of wish they'd just go away and jump off a cliff somewhere. And but actually, strangely, I found that practice easier in a certain way than the mindfulness of breathing. But those two practices together, An extending awareness, a sense of becoming more and more still, becoming more and more at one with oneself, and this going outwards towards the world, were just such an extraordinary combination and such an extraordinary kind of opportunity, really, to work very directly with what I experienced as my own inner violence, my own inner anger.